Go with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I am going to list this verse as our text, because this is the verse that the message came from. But we're just going to use something from this verse to move on through the scriptures. Messages come in different formats. Sometimes it's a story. Sometimes you hear a message and it's a story. Sometimes it's line by line, verse by verse. Sometimes it's point by point. We'll say, I have 3 points, or I have 5 points. You got an intro, you have a conclusion. Sometimes it's a word study through the scriptures, seeing what all the scriptures have to say about a particular subject matter. And that's what our format will be tonight. All right, that's what the message will be tonight. As I was studying for the message this morning from Matthew 7, 21 to 23, 3 words caught my attention and they held my attention. And I believe they brought me to this message tonight. Those 3 words are in verse 22. Matthew 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me, and here they are, in that day. In that day. That's the title of this message. In that day. Now, this morning we saw that our Lord was describing that day as the judgment. And it is. It is. But that's not all that it is. When our Lord says, in that day, that's not the only thing that he is referring to. He and his apostles mention it many times. It's mentioned in the Old Testament many times, and it refers to eternity. In that day is referring to never-ending eternity. Never-ending eternity. I've had it in my mind before. Sometimes my mind wanders, and you think about events in order, the way that we have events in order down here. Well, you have the judgment. You know, that's a day. And then when that day is over, you move on to the next day. And that's not how it is. There is only one day in glory. There's only one day. The scripture says there is no night there. The day of judgment is the day of everything else. It's the day of all of it. We're not going to be bound to time. We're not going to be bound to past, present, or future like we are here on this earth. Abel, you know, Cain killed Abel. Abel was the first believer to be carried into glory. And from our point of view here on this earth, he went a long time ago. That was a long time ago. But from the point of view of eternity, he went today. All right? He went today. A dear brother from the church in Crossville just went to be with the Lord. A very dear brother, Brother Gary Spreaker. The Lord called him home. And do you know when he went? Today. David went today. Moses went today. The Apostle Paul went today. Everybody goes today. Our Lord gave a parable of those working in the field, and some went early and they got a penny, and some came late and they got a penny, but everybody got the same thing. All came today. All of God's people go today. Now, there is much that I don't understand about believers leaving this world and going to be with the Lord. That's a serious understatement. There's much that I don't understand. The scripture says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. All right? So believers leave here and go to be with the Lord. But in that day, the Lord will come back and he will bring all of the souls who have already gone with him. And they will collect the body that they had on this earth. And they're going to come out of the graves that they were put in. And they will be in a glorified state. We will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortality will put on immortality. Corruption is going to put on incorruption. He's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, but it's our body. And we will collect it, and then we'll be in this glorified state, and we will see him coming, and we're going to rise to meet him in the air. And where I'm going with that is, I don't know what that means for those who go. I don't know what that time is between those who go and come back and go again. What body are they in? I don't know. There's a lot I don't understand about this, but I don't need to. It's irrelevant to me. The Lord said that's how it's going to be, and by his grace, he's given me faith to believe him. So I don't need to know. I just don't need to know all that. He's told me everything that I need to know, and if he reveals more, then we'll have more. But all I know is all of it is that day. And again, we just have to remove the whole thought process of time for all that. We won't be bound to time anymore. But the judgment, his return, and eternal existence with him, all of it is that day. And our Lord has written to us many times in this word that he does not want us to be ignorant of that day. We just read that in our scripture reading. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant of these things. The Lord has written to that over and over again. In the scripture, he has plainly told us about that day. And as I go right now, I'm begging him, Lord, please help me to convey some of these things that you've allowed my eyes to be open to in the scripture. I hope he'll let us get a hold of this. It can't be put into words. But our Lord has said throughout his word, I believe there is so much in here that if he would send his spirit and faith to open our eyes, just like that servant of Elisha, when he prayed, Lord, open his eyes, and he saw the mountains around him were full of horses and chariots of fire. You know, I believe the Lord could let us see horses and chariots of fire in this. It's here. I believe it's all here. We see through a glass so darkly, don't we? Bits and pieces and... But our Lord has written these things, and he said, I'm telling you these things so that you won't be overtaken when it comes to you. You're not going to be shocked when it comes to you. You're going to expect these things to come to pass, and God's people will. We read these things, we hear these things, and he's preparing us for these things. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 1, it says, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, You have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that that day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It's going to come unannounced. How many times has he told us that? So when that happens, we're not going to be shocked. When as a bolt of lightning, trumpets resound, and this happens so fast, we're not going to be shocked. Don't turn, but Acts chapter 1 tells us that this same Jesus is coming back. When we see him, we will know him, and we won't be shocked. We won't be shocked at all. Across my page right here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that he's coming back. If you look at the end of verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7 says he's coming back with his mighty angels. When you see this, don't be shocked. When you see him come back with a number of angels that no man can number. Verse 8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's how that day is going to go for all those who are outside of Christ. But for all who are in Christ, and don't let me confuse you, but look back across your page. This time chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then in chapter 5 right here, he said, I'm telling you these things so you'll be prepared in that day. I'm telling you how all this is going to go. You'll know and you'll understand and you'll say, yeah, this is exactly what's supposed to be happening. And that's what God's people will do. Yeah, this is exactly what's supposed to be happening. Chapter 5, verse 1. Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. All of God's people who were chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and called by the Spirit have been given the light of His Word. And from this light, we have received faith, hope, and love for the salvation that Christ has given to us and will give to us. The salvation He's accomplished for us in that day. And what I want us to do for the rest of our time here is I want us to see this light. He said, this is not going to overtake you. We're the children of light. We're the children of the day. I want us to see this light. I want us to read a few of the scriptures. There are many. I want to read a few of them that he's given to us, where he is telling us what to expect in that day. And I hope this will bring an amazement. This has just brought amazement to me. I hope this will bring excitement. I hope this will bring comfort. I hope this will make us just overwhelmed for that day. I pray we'll be prepared for it. He keeps saying, watch, be sober, look. I pray it'll make us do that. All right, scripture to scripture. The first one is Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only God knows the day of his return. Only God knows. The angels don't even know. That's just an amazing thought to me. But the angels don't even know. If any man makes a prediction that he has figured out the day, count on it. It's not the day. It's just not. It is not the day. Verse 36. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. We are going to see that happen. In that day, that is going to happen. Verse 40 says, two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. What will make the difference? It'll be the one that the Father chose, the Son redeemed, and the Spirit called. That's the one that will be taken. It'll be the one who is the product of God's work and God's will and God's desire. That's the one who has received the grace and the mercy of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose total hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has been loved with an everlasting love, that's the one that's going to be taken. That's the one who has been bought with a price. That's the one that belongs to Christ, that's the one that's going to be taken, the one that is his, all right? The other one who is still in his or her rebellion, the one who hears this and says, I can't stand that. I don't like God's sovereignty. I don't want the choice to be his. I'm not going to believe that. The one who is left there is the one who's going to be left here. That's the one who's going to be left alone. That's what makes the difference. But that will happen. That will happen. We just read in Thessalonians that when he comes back, it's going to be grace and redemption to his own, and it's going to be wrath and destruction to those who are not his own. This scripture right here, what we just read, tells us that the ones who will be taken, they are going to be delivered before destruction comes to the other ones. I used to wonder about that. I used to wonder, are we going to stand here and witness the judgment of this earth? And not according to this. One will be taken, one will be left. We're going to be taken before the judgment comes, all right? And we don't need to be shocked when this happens. Don't be shocked. That event should not overtake us by surprise. He's told us it's going to happen in that day. Now, here's another thing we can expect to take place. Look with me at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." There is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. There is going to be a wedding reception for the bridegroom and his bride. How long is it going to last? Who says it's ever going to end? I've never read that it's going to end. It may last all day. That feast and celebration may last all day. The culmination of what he said that wine represented. This thing is built on the blood. And he said, "You take this and you drink this in remembrance of what I did to bring you to me and to join you to me." And there is going to be a celebration. There's going to be a great celebration in heaven. And our Lord is going to serve his wine that he made. He is going to serve that blessed, sweet, satisfying wine. They said, "Oh, you've served, you know, our Lord, first miracle, he turned water into wine." They said, "Oh, you saved the good wine for last." Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Number one, if you're sitting at the feast, the celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he hands you a glorious, delicious glass of his wine, that picture, don't be surprised if that picture doesn't go away. And we celebrate with him. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a celebration. All right, go with me to John 14. May the Lord open our eyes to this. I just don't even know what to say to this. John 14, verse 19, it says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also." Now watch verse 20. "At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Now, honestly, may the Lord open our eyes to this. Verse 20, he said, "At that day you shall know." Don't now, can't really now. "But at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." We cannot fathom three persons being one. Talk about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we're talking about one God. One God. But he said, at that day, you're going to know this. If he is in the Father, If he is, think about the amazement of that statement. He is in the Father. If he is in the Father, and if we are in him, then we are in the Father. And you talk about a statement that just rolls off the tongue. I mean, what does that even mean? What is that saying? Here's my response. I don't know. But I will know in that day. He said, I will know, you will know in that day. In verse 10 right here, he said, the Father is in me. If you look at chapter 14, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. If he is in us, and the Father is in him, then the Father is in us. And he said, in that day, you're going to know. You're going to know. You're going to experience the oneness that I have created for you with God. You're going to know it in that day. Look at John 16. John 16, verse 23, it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. When he says verily, verily, he means this is of a truth, of a truth. He said, whatever you ask the Father for in my name, he'll give it to you. In that day. In that day when you are without sin, without error, everything you ask the Father for, he'll give it to you. Everything. Verse 24, he said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. That means parables. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Is that not amazing? He said, in that day, you're going to ask. And he said, I'm not going to say to you, well, I'll go ask the Father for you. I'm not going to say that to you. He said, you go ask the Father directly yourself. The Father loves you just like he loves me. And whatever you ask, he's going to give it to you. He's saying right here, you think you know oneness with God now? You think you have some kind of grasp of oneness with God? You know, we say oneness with Christ. What that means is oneness with God. Can we? It almost sounds blasphemous. But he's saying, you think you know something of oneness with God now? Just wait. Wait till that day. In that day, you're going to know it. You're going to experience oneness with the Father. Oneness with the Son. Oneness with the Spirit. Us in them. Them in us. Our little minds try to fathom what's it going to be like to try to get an audience with him. He will be in us. We will be in him. It's like saying, how do I get an audience with my mind? What would it take for me to get an audience with my thoughts? I can't fathom what he's saying here. I just cannot fathom. But he said, in that day, you will. You're going to know it. And he said, I'm telling you this so you can be excited about it. I'm telling you this so that you can expect it. You can hope in it. You can wait for it. Trust in it. He that has the Son has everything. Everything. So with all of this being said, let's close with this promise, all right? 2 Timothy 4. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 1, that's where Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. All right, that's where Paul said that. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And that crown of righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the crown. He wears the crown. We're the body. He's the head. Any crown that's given to us, we're going to say, place it on my head. He is the crown. He wears the crown. And Paul said, we have the promise of receiving him in that day. Verse 8, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. To every child of his who is looking for and waiting for and longing for his appearing, Paul said, you are going to receive him at that day. In that day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. What a day, glorious day that'll be. All right, Brother Dwight, you come and lead us.